awesome. We are excited because we did just have two teams go on missions trips this last month. We're excited that today we're going to get to hear from them. We're going to get to hear about what happened in Wells, what happened here right in Wisconsin at Awesome Camps. Yeah. Pastor Ryan, I'm super excited to share all that God did in these camps.
Definitely. And it was just a year ago that we met some missionaries who were missionaries to Wales, and they said, hey, we do this camp every year in Wales that specifically is for kids who are in the foster care system. We like to treat them like royalty. And they said, will you guys come and help us? We need some people to stay up all night and just watch kids. Watch kids
so much fun.
Sleep.
We can watch children sleep.
But you know what? I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, Focus Church is in. You're looking to impact foster care. We're in. And so we decided and began planning a year ago to send a team to go help out in Wales. We also launched a team that did the same exact camp. It has a different name, Royal Family Kids Camp, here in Wisconsin. And so back-to-back weeks, they did this in August. But Pastor Shalee, we've been talking this whole month about a bullseye and a focus here at Focus Church, and that is that we invest in the next generation.
Yeah, we love the next gen. We know that God is doing something in our next generation, and we're super excited that as a church family, we get to invest in them.
And not just investing our time, not just investing our volunteering, not just saying they're welcome. It's also about money.
Absolutely.
That it costs something to be able to have a next gen center and to be able to do these programs. And so we set a goal this month that this family would raise $10,000 to go towards equipment for all these programs that we have that are kicking off this week.
Yeah, because kids are hard on equipment. So you think, you know, you could buy one thing one time, but if you ever put a little boy in a pair of jeans, you know, jeans don't last. Toys don't last either. In fact, we've gone through some foosball tables. We got rid of a couple
ping pong tables
this year. Some TVs, you know, might have got hit by a ball. I don't know. Computers break. They do. And so sometimes we just have to have some new stuff because when you have hundreds of kids come through your building every single week, it gets a little rough.
I want to pause on that for a moment, Pastor Shalee, because, I mean, our church is not empty during the week.
No, this building doesn't just sit here.
It's not just dead Sunday morning. It's not just quiet. The lights are not off. They're open every single day for kids in our community to be here.
Yep.
And that's cool.
It is. It's awesome to have kids here.
Well, you know how much we've raised so far?
How much?
Our goal was $10,000.
Yes.
And I'm excited to say we have raised $7,000 so
far.
That's
awesome. Yeah, give it up for yourself.
Yes.
So cool.
But I also believe that there are people here, maybe people watching online, who said, I've been wanting to give. I just haven't yet. It's not too late. Give your gift to the Do Something Fund. I believe we're going to make this goal, Pastor Shalee.
Yeah, because we want to invest in the next generation.
We invest in the next generation. Now, Pastor Shalee, in order to invest in the next generation, we're talking about the next generation of Jesus followers. We're talking about young people. We're talking about kids. We're talking about young adults. We're talking about teenagers and everything. But there's a certain demographic of the next generation that God has asked us to go even further with, and that's the orphan. That is the kid who's being watched after in foster care. And the reason for it is because of a scripture in James chapter 1.
Yeah, James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. And that is what we want to do. We want to care for the orphans and the widows. God's called us to do that. It's in his scripture. He says, hey, care for those. And so that's what we're doing here at Focus Church.
That's what we're doing. Now, it's one thing that the Bible says it. It's another thing that God has spoken to this church family after we prayed and said, you're going to do it. But it involves our entire family having to care about it. In order to do what this pure religion that God's talking about, we've got to care that they need help.
Yeah.
Care that they need love. Care that they need someone to be there for them.
They do.
It starts with caring. But I believe it's not just caring, because I think something can move us to where, like, I care.
And then do nothing.
And do nothing, right. But we really need to care to the point that we do something. And that's why we do something here at Focus Church. We put action to what God's put in our heart. And when it comes to this group, the kids in foster care, we want to do something. That's why we sent these two teams out to participate in these camps. One here in Wisconsin, one all the way around the world in Wales, in the United Kingdom. And Pastor Shalee, with these camps, normally when we celebrate a missions trip, we want to show pictures, we want to show video about what we did.
Yeah, we want to show everybody, hey, this is what it looked like, and this is what it would look like if you were there. But unfortunately, because we're dealing with kids who are in foster care, we keep their privacy very secret, and so there are no pictures. We weren't allowed to have our phones with us. There could not even be a smartwatch there. The locations are unknown, and so there are no pictures of the kids we got to minister to. There's no pictures of us doing the things, but fortunately for all of us, they do make a promo video, so there are some specific people there taking pictures of people's backs and the adults that were there, and so they made one from last year that we'll get to see. What does this camp look like, and what does it look like to go and hang out with foster care kids?
So we're going to take a look at this video, and then we're going to be inviting up the team members from both of these teams' trips. We're going to interview them and find out what happened.
By far the main reason that we're here is kids. They're kids who come from really difficult backgrounds. They've got lots of social issues in the background and actually have had quite a rough start to life. And actually this camp is amazing that it gives exactly those children an amazing opportunity to come and just be loved and do really fun stuff.
They're in a place where every single adult here is 100% for them. If they're sad, there's someone to comfort them. If they're laughing, there's someone to laugh with them.
The amazing thing about Starfish Camp is that it offers so much that every child can achieve something. So it opens up a huge new world for them, a variety of things and skills that maybe they wouldn't necessarily have achieved at home.
All of the activities on camp seem to just bring the best out of children, from finding out new talents that they didn't even know they had to pushing their physical and mental boundaries. It really kind of brings out the very, very best in these kids.
Creating an environment where you praise kids and use positive words of affirmation to build them up, regardless of their backgrounds, all kids can benefit from that. And you can see the kids as they respond to all of this positive environment. It has a tremendous effect on them.
I guess for all of us, our childhoods are really important. They're our formative years. And actually, it's really important developing good relationships. It's really important for kids to have a really good time and to be able to learn lots of social skills, interacting with other children, interacting with adults, and also being just shown that they're loved and that there are opportunities in the world.
We know that it's having an effect because we've seen it over 4 years. And we've seen children leave us to go on into high school much stronger and much more resilient and much happier than when they first came to see us.
I'm not completely sure of the numbers, but I know that the first camp several years ago was only a handful of kids. And the second year it grew, and the third year we had to move to a different premises because we outgrew our first premises. And this year again, we've grown again. So I'm very confident that as time goes by, carers, social workers become very aware of the impact that this camp has on the lives of children. And a camp grows and more kids are being influenced, and that's wonderful. But we will never be able to reach great numbers of kids with just one camp.
These camps need to go further afield. They need to go out into England and to Scotland so that children there can have the same opportunity to grow and develop and to have some of the damage undone in a small way, some healing for their hurts that have been in their lives.
If we can see it growing, if we can see people getting involved, the number of kids then that we can reach is just endless.
I just think it makes such a difference to them and their lives.
We can't help every single child in the UK or in Europe, but we can make a difference to a good number of them.
especially. I love those accents on the video. Those were all Welsh people.
And so fun to hear them talk.
It is. And I was surprised that we kept on telling them in Wales, like, we love your accent. It's so fun to hear. And they kept on telling us, we love your American accent. And we're like, really?
We sound so normal.
Well, we have the teams up here. They're in two different colors. The teams in blue went to the local Wisconsin camp, of which there's one person missing this weekend.
Yeah, one of them
who couldn't make
this.
It. And then the team in purple went to the Welsh camp. And so we're going to go through one at a time. Why don't you tell us your name and tell us what number missions trip was this for you? Was it your first? Was it your second? Was it your third?
Hi, I'm Bradley, and this was my second missions trip.
I'm Mandy, and this is my second mission trip.
I'm Tara, and this was my third missions trip.
I'm Riley, and this was my second.
I'm Nikki, and this was my second.
I'm Regan, and this is my second.
I'm Amy, this is my third.
I'm Ron, this is my first.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Dylan, this is my first.
I'm Dustin, and this was my second.
So many people that... This was their second.
Yeah,
you
know, second
with a few
trip,
people
yeah.
that this was their first time going on a missions trip, and
it's
and,
so cool.
and we promote that. That's something we want to do. That it's not just something we hear about, but it's something we get to participate.
Yeah, and if you haven't been on one, make it your first the next time we go.
Definitely. Now we said that it was a year ago that missionaries asked us to do this crazy idea of saying, "Will you stay up all night?" And watch kids who are sleeping. It will really help our team out. And we're like, "That sounds." Boring, but we do sing a song here at Focus Church that says, "Hey God, I'm available." And so we said, "Hey, we'll be available." And these people signed up and said, "Hey, I'll do it. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll do it."
Yeah, we'll just say, "Hey, we'll watch kids sleep. We'll do whatever you say." And it might not have turned out exactly like that. Can you guys tell us about what night watch meant? The people in purple can talk to us about what that meant and what it meant for them to do. And maybe the people in blue can tell us they didn't do night watch at the blue camp. They did something else. So why don't you guys tell us about what does it look like to do night watch and what you did?
So at night watch, we had two different shifts. There was a 10 p.m. to 2:30 a.m. and a 2:30 a.m. to 7 a.m. And we sat outside of the kids' rooms, and we just made sure that they were safe, that they were okay. If they needed to go to the bathroom, we would point them to the bathroom, and we would just make sure they were okay. And the boys did the same thing in their rooms. But then we also got to help with the camp as well. So some people would go to sleep at night and then come back for the shift, or some of us would stay up and then go to bed, and then we would all go back at lunchtime. And then we got to be with different groups, help out with different things. Yeah.
Yeah, so in Wells, it's a requirement for them, if they do this camp, to have people awake 24 hours a day. They can't have anyone sleep in the kids' rooms. You have to be outside of their rooms, and you have to have someone watching them. So there were actually three girls and three boys awake every single night, all night long.
And for the blue team in Wisconsin, what were some of the things you guys did?
So I was a big camper, and I was assigned a camper, and I got to be with them all week, and I'd follow them around and do whatever they did.
I was assigned a child, but at the last minute, the child couldn't show. Very depressing, but at the same time, it was a blessing because I didn't have one child. I had the entire children in the entire group. That made me feel very special. I was able to help other big campers with their children as far as if they needed a meeting or just for two-up, whatever else they needed, I filled in.
Very good. And for going on a camp like this, I said that we build it as, hey, we're going to stay up all night, but that's not necessarily what it was that we did. I mean, camp was so much more than that. And so why don't you share something that surprised you? Like, the only thing we told you was, hey, it's in another country, or hey, it's with foster kids, hey, it's a week long, and hey, you have to pay money to be there. What surprised you about being there and that was maybe different? Or
so during the day,
we were Desi's, and so we just had to like make sure that we were watching.
Hold on. Desi's is a short for designated eyes, yeah. Meaning extra people watching kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Security.
And so a part of that was I just made some friends with like the adults there. And so I would just bounce between their groups because I could just float and just, as long as I was doing Des Eyes, I could just go hang out with whoever I wanted to, you know? That was pretty fun.
I was happily surprised that we got to spend more time with the kids. So that was great. And kind of like what Dylan said, making connections with the Welsh volunteers was amazing as well.
I was surprised at the wide variety of activities we've done. Like, we went swimming, we went rock climbing, we went horseback riding, we played in those big bubbles so you knock everyone around. It was a little dangerous. And we played soccer, or football, as they say. Mm-hmm. And they made fun of us for that a lot.
Yes. Yes. You guys are making light of the fact that, you know, you think that when you're going to the United Kingdom, they speak English, and that everything's gonna be okay. But we found that there were a lot of cultural barriers. There were a lot of differences. Could the team in purple maybe share with us kind of what was different about going to the United Kingdom, going to Wales? What'd you find?
So one of the bigger things is you're, all right, going to the United Kingdom, they speak English. The biggest difference is they have a very heavy accent. And you find yourself a lot of times needing to think about what's being said, even though it's English. Like, you can understand some of the words, but a lot of it, because they say it so fast with such a heavy accent, it took a little bit to kind of get used to it and be able to understand what they're saying. And I know some of the kids were in, or at least in the room, you know, that I was dealing with, they'd make, like, oh, you're American, you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm like, well, if you'd say it a little bit slower, I could probably, you know, understand you right now, but... Because they knew almost immediately just because of how we talked and compared to them that we were not from the UK, obviously.
More than just their accents, they had different words. So I got to spend time with the girls in the morning, and they would braid their hair, but it's not braids, it's called plaits. And they don't put hair ties in, they put bobbles in. They don't put a swimsuit on, they wear swim costumes or bathers. And if you ask where the trash can is, they're gonna look at you funny. Because it's a bin.
Yeah. Another thing is the food is all, like, super different. And one of the mornings, we were eating toast, like we did every morning. And I just put some butter on my toast, sprinkled a little sugar, started eating that. And everyone at the table just started staring at me. I'm just like, what are y'all doing? And they all thought it was the craziest thing to put butter and sugar on toast. And like, you can't do that.
Yeah. But at the same time with food, for lunch, they had sandwiches every single day and butter was on their sandwiches. So it was butter and cheese, butter and ham, probably butter and tuna, I don't even know. Butter and jam, it was just.
Yeah, white bread.
White bread.
With butter. Then the object of the sandwich,
not even
then
toasted.
Butter, then the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mandy really loved all the sandwiches a lot. She doesn't like ham, and every day she ate a ham sandwich because the other choices were egg salad or tuna salad.
We suffered. I would say I'm probably a little scarred about all the sausage. Like, they don't eat meat, they eat sausage. And it's like, please, no more sausage.
And they did kid-sized portioning. So, like, chicken nuggets was one night. We all got, like, 3 chicken nuggets. And we were hungry.
Yes. Yes, we were.
Go on, missions trips. You two can lose weight.
Oh, great weight loss plan. There we go.
The redeeming quality of the food was the banoffee pie. So it was, like, banana with some peanut butter and then, like, some cracker at the bottom with some whipped cream. And that was really good.
Too bad they didn't serve it every day. it was culture shock, and it was different being in another country. Things were just different, and we're having to be flexible. But part of the camp and how it's set up, whether it was the Wisconsin camp or the camp that was in Wales, it's designed to take kids who were in foster care and treat them like royalty for a week. And so what was some of the things they did at the camp to make the kids feel special, to feel royal?
Well, one of the big things is when they show up. They show up on a coach bus from one of the local churches where they met up. They show up on a coach bus, end up putting out like a red carpet, and everyone's standing there with signs and balloons and just cheering for all the kids as they come off the bus. There were a couple times where kids would be real shy, so we do like a quiet, you know, not real loud or clapping or anything, but a majority of them wanted a really loud, like, welcome, and that was kind of one of the bigger things when everyone got there to make them feel.
They noticed when they got off the bus that they didn't have shoes or clothes starting Monday through the whole week. If they needed clothes, someone would run to the store and go get shoes that fit, clothes that fit, swimming costumes for them. They were just always well cared for.
So they had a tea party for the girls, and then the guys had a knighting ceremony. And the girls had a special moment, like a TLC moment, where they would try on different dresses and they got to say yes to the dress. And it was just a really special moment for them.
And then every once, we had a set schedule. We had to be here at this time, do this at this time. But they also included a camper's choice, which I thought was really neat, where the children could pick and choose what they wanted to do. And a lot of them wanted to do frog hunting. And even some of the females were involved. And remarkably, I know of one female that caught more frogs than I did.
I heard Pastor Amy got to go frog hunting and she loved it.
I kept trying to tell my camper, like, let's go crafting. She's like, no, let's go get frogs. I'm like, okay.
I think one of the most awesome things they did at camp to show the kids they're royal is that they throw at the end, the last day, a big birthday party for everyone. They have cakes with everybody's names on them, like their own individual cake with their name. They have presents brought out, like bags of presents. So not just like a present. They get like 4, 5, 6 presents in their bag. And they have it decorated with balloons. And they have amazing party food, right, Riley? they serve party food, which Riley looked at me that day and she's like, is this really what they eat for their birthday? It was quiche and sausage rolls. And you know what we found out? Yes, that really is what they eat for their birthday. But they had this great party food and all the kind of fun things for kids to do. And it was so awesome to see kids have this party because many of them aren't thrown a birthday party. And so for some of them, it was their very first birthday party they ever got to attend for themselves. So it was really fun. There were moments like that throughout the camp that we got to experience and see kids. Can you guys tell us about some campers or some moments that impacted you that you got to experience with the campers at your camp?
One of the kids I met was named Ilea. And I just got to play with her a bunch. We did gymnastics, we made bracelets. I taught her to finger dab. And halfway through the week, she wrote me a card. And it's like, thank you for being such a good friend. I never want to leave camp because I want to play with you. And it was really sweet from her.
And something that I didn't really think about going there was, all right, we're doing night watch, but I didn't think how much it would impact them. I had two of them in the room that I was kind of watching that wouldn't go to sleep, were constantly up, and after a little bit of being there, one of them finally asked, why are you here? And it was kind of, we're just here to make sure you're safe and everything goes well through the night and nothing happens. And shortly after that, he goes, all right, I'm gonna go to bed now and go to sleep. I rolled over and went to sleep, and that was after him for at least a half an hour to an hour going, I'm not gonna sleep, I don't sleep, I don't sleep at home. And eventually he just said, all right, I'm gonna go to sleep, and just fell asleep right then and there.
I was coloring with one of the girls in the activity center, and she stopped and looked at me, and she said, how much are you guys getting paid to be here? And I said, none of us are getting paid to be here. And she said, then why are you here? Why did you come all the way from America, that's what they call it, to be here with us? And I said, we're here because we care about you and we want to have fun with you and make sure that you're safe all week long. And she looked at me and she said, that makes my heart so happy. And so that right there, like that impacted me probably the most, that we could come and be there, and it meant a lot to the kids too.
We had a lot of great moments with the kids, but we also had some great moments with the volunteers that are there. And I always think about all the things that we do here at Focus Church that we do for kids. And we have a lot of volunteers that show up. And this group was a force coming in to help with Night Watch, because if we weren't there for Night Watch, the staff there would have stayed up all night and then did all the things that they do during the morning. In fact, they've had 3 or 4 camps like that where they have stayed up all night and then had to go and do camp all day long. And they were so grateful to have us there that they were able to sleep and then be able to be refreshed and ready to go for the next day. And so us getting to go there really did bless another church body, several church bodies there that said, hey, we're just grateful that you could come in and do your part and we can do our part. And it's just, it's really cool to see how God works that way.
And speaking of church bodies being involved with this, for the Wisconsin Royal Family Kids Camp, there were 14 churches represented that came together to put that camp on. And for the Welsh camp, there were 8 churches represented. And Focus Church was one of those in each of those camps. That we were, it's not just what Focus Church is doing, but really God's doing a movement here where he's saying, hey, it's important to me that you care about the orphan, that you care about kids in foster care. And he's told us that. He's instructed in his word, and now we're doing something about it, and we're experiencing it. I want to go through each one of you, and I want you to share at least one name or maybe multiple names of kids that you met that you would say, hey, they impacted me, and I'm going to make sure I pray for them this year.
All the kids that come to mind for me are the kids that were in our family pod, which is Kane, Rocco, Sunny, and Leo.
I got to be with a couple different pods, so the names that come to me are Lola, Lacey, Isla, Thomas, and Mason.
My red family pod girls, so that's Sky, Lily, Honey, Lola, and Poppy.
Mine is Ilea, Nora, Summer, and
Nora.
I said Nora.
Oh.
Holly. Holly, yes. And they're so sweet. Summer would come up to me and she'd be like, you're my bestie. And Holly's like, you're my favorite cuzzy wuzzy, because we were cousins to them. Because we just got to play with them a bunch.
Do you have something on your wrist that you were trying to look at to remember their names?
Yeah, I made a bracelet at the camp that has each of the girls' initials on here so I can remember them and pray for them.
I got to be with a different couple pods, and I some names that come to mind are Mason and Thomas and Lola.
So my three would be Chad, Eli, and Kai.
For me, it would be the girls in my cabin, Ree, Abby, Aaliyah, Jonna, and Sarah's Campa Sierra.
I can't think of one particular individual child because I was spread out with all the children. So I'd have to say all the children I pray for, because they all touched my heart very deeply.
I think the boys that impacted me was Frankie, Kai, and Chad.
The two that kind of for me to pray for would be Luca and Caden. Those are the two that I kind of dealt with a lot with the night shift, and you know, were also the two that never wanted to go to sleep. So,
Oscar and Ilea and Kai really touched my heart.
For me, it was Oscar, Frankie, Isaac, Leo, Mason, Rocco, Kane, all these boys that I got to put to bed every night and make it to where they could sleep. They needed sleep. And that was such a great thing to be a part of. And we say this at Focus Church, that when it comes to a missions trip, it's not about what we can do in a week somewhere else, but it's what God can do in us by going somewhere else for a week. And so part of why we do this trip is so that it's not just an activity we're doing, it's not just a role we're playing, but we're saying, God, I'm making myself available. I want to care. show me something, impact me somehow. And so would anyone be able to share how God impacted you through this experience by going on this missions trip?
Well, one of the things was one of the kids that was there, like on the first day that he got there, he was just not having a good time. He was crying and like saying, I want to go home a lot. And but by day two, and like as like the camp went on, like he like started getting a lot better, and like he was enjoying himself a ton. At the end, like he said, "Oh, I want to stay here for forever and be here a lot longer," and that just helped me realize that like I've never realized how much a positive environment for like kids and people like help them, like how much it makes things better.
And kind of a big thing that impacted me was the fact that we went over there to do night watch for them, and in talking with some of them and them saying they don't want to go home, you realize that those same kids are here. And that's something that you can't just go, oh, it's only over there, but they're walking around in the schools next door and just our community also. And that's just something that it opened my eyes to it, that there's more than just across, you know, in the UK or, you know, at a foster care camp, that they're every, you know, all of them are like that.
I think along with that, just you don't always realize how your interaction with anyone really, like, has an impact on others. So being there with the kids and just laughing at their jokes, hanging out with them, talking to them, like letting them talk to you and just listening, just shows that your actions just mean a lot to anyone. And that goes for here too, anywhere in the world. Like, just be aware of how you are interacting with others. Even if you're having a bad day, like, don't portray that out onto someone else, and you don't know what anyone is going through. I don't know what any of you are going through, but just being more aware of, you know, how am I talking to you? What am I saying? Am I listening? Do you need help? Just things like that, and just it can impact anyone. Just even saying hi, like, you have no idea. And it was just a lot of kids just loved us just being there with them. Like, just playing. Like, I played in the rain for an hour with two boys playing soccer. Did I really want to play in the rain? No. It was cold. My shoes were wet. My socks were wet. But I did it, and they loved it. So, just your actions.
I was really nervous going into this, because the idea of having the same camper all week, and, like, if they don't like you, like, that's, like, you have to suck it up, because it's about the camper, not about you. And so I was amazed at how God, like, kind of, like, put me with the perfect person. Like, within the first seconds of talking to her, I felt like we just knew each other. And she was, like, one of the most loving people at the camp. And I actually forgot for a second that she was a foster care kid, because, like, she was just so full of joy and, like, loving. And one day she got to share her story with me, and I was so shocked at how she talked about how her dad had abused her. And I was amazed at how I would never have known if she never shared that with me. And so I learned that, like, it doesn't matter, like, whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through, you could still have joy within you, and you could share that with other people around you. Like, God can still use you if you're willing.
I learned that I found a purpose in loving the kids, that even though I didn't have, like, a specific role or job to do, my job was just to, like, love those kids and play with them. They did some really cool things for those kids. Like, they had experiences that they never did. I saw so many girls learn to swim. They went horse riding. They rock climbed. We went on slip and slides, made bracelets, like, so many new things and opportunities they got to experience for the first time.
When we just make ourselves available, kids get to do things that they couldn't have done otherwise. And the same thing happens here. See, the kids over there, kids that have been abused, they're here. They're right across the street from us. And they are coming every day to our building. And when we make ourselves available to them, we get to love on kids that are in the same situations that these kids were in. And it's important for us to not just do something like one time in a year, just for one week, but it's important for us to keep showing up for kids because God's asked us, hey, have a focus on children that are cared for, kids in foster care. And so we need to show up. We need to be there for them. And it's our turn to invest in the next generation right now.
So good. You know, you just preciously a few moments ago, you talked about how we are starting these programs for the new school year. And what these people did on stage that they did for a week, we have a whole school year of opportunities to do the exact same thing, to show up and be there. And this is not just about a small group of people doing something really cool. This is about everyone. To be a part of the Focus family is to invest in the next generation. And so you can do that by actually being a part or by supporting it. And those two things, if everyone is involved, we can do way more. I remember hearing something about the Wisconsin camp that they could have had more kids at camp if they had a few more volunteers. That there were some kids left out because there wasn't enough volunteers. Now, with these two camps, we already have been given an invitation to come back next year, both to the Wisconsin Royal Family Kids Camp and to the Welsh Starfish Kids Camp. And so that means we're going back next year, and we're going to be a part, and there's no limit on how many people can go. And so I want you to be thinking, I want you to be praying to see, what can I do to be a part of these camps next summer? We'll release stuff at the beginning of next year, 2025, about the details, the costs, and applications. But let me just tell you, if you're thinking that you want to go on the Wales one, get your passport now. You know, go ahead and get it. It takes time to get that, and you will be blessed by being part of it. Now, if anyone was here thinking about going on a mission trip, saying, maybe I could do that, what would you say to them?
Don't think about it, just do it. The joy that these children have brought into my heart was worth every ounce of pain and that I went through trying to run around chasing these kids and them chasing me. Yes.
Do it now.
I would say don't let any barrier keep you, like the barrier of the unknown, right? Or the cost. You would be surprised. Some of you guys have some stories about you were afraid about the cost. And what happened for you?
I had hesitated about asking my employer just because I work for him, you know, and it was one of those things where I finally did, and they ended up donating more than I thought they would, and that was just something that I guess, you know, only God can do with that one, and he came through, and it really wasn't that big of a worry that I needed to have at the time, so.
And we're excited to be able to say that this is something we're going to be doing over and over. Earlier this year, we took a team to participate at an English teen camp in Thailand. We had a group of 9 people go, and we've been given an invitation to come back again, specifically to be the Americans who help with English at this camp, where they learn about Jesus and learn English at the same time. And many teens made a decision to make Jesus the leader of the life of this camp. And why? You know, Pastor Shirley, today is the first day that you can actually sign up to say, I want to go to Thailand. And there's information in the notes you received when you walked in today about how to sign up. We have an application you can fill out to give us some information. We have to choose 12 people. There's a limit of only 12 people can go. And so we're going to decide at the end of the month who the 12 are based off the applications. And then we'll begin the process of going through and learning and training and getting ready, because we're going in March 2025 to Thailand to do this same type of thing. And it's not about what we can do in a week. It's about what God can do in us in a week when we make ourselves available. But it all starts with caring, doesn't it, Pastor?
It does. It starts with caring. And part of it, we want you to pray and say, hey, God, do you want me to go to Thailand and put your application in and start it? But if it's not a possibility for you, we want you to invest. You can invest money. You can help other people go. You can pray for the Thailand trip. We want you to be a part of investing not only in Thailand, but all around here. And so you can start by caring for the kids right here in our own community.
Yeah. You see, I think it's interesting that we're wearing shirts that have a starfish on it. And where this comes from is a story about a beach where some starfish got washed up. A whole ton of starfish got washed up onto the beach with the current, and they were all going to die. And this little boy ran to the beach. He said, I've got to do something. And this man who was with him said, there's too many. You can't make a difference. But the boy kept on running, and he picked up a starfish, tossed it back into the water. He said, but I made a difference for this one. And he takes another one. I made a difference for this one. And we may not be able to help every kid, but we can help some kids. And for the kids we do impact, it could change everything for them. The Bible says, how will they know unless somebody tells them? And how will someone tell them unless someone goes? And how will someone go unless someone is sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We have to care to the point of doing something. This is who we are. God's called us to invest in the next generation, to care, to do something. We all need to be a part. I'm gonna invite you this time to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we talk to God about this, as we talk to God about these children who are impacted, and as we even talk to God about our role in investing in the next generation. So God, we thank you that this team, these two teams, were able to go and be a part of these camps to make a difference in the lives of these children. But really, we heard today, God, that these children impacted these team members. And right now, we pray for these kids. We pray that you would be with them even right now. You know where they're at. You know where they're going through. God, we pray that you would protect them. God, we pray for health and healing for them. God, we pray that they would know you as their Lord and Savior. God, we pray for them to be impacted. We recognize that we were there for a week, but God, we trust you that seeds were planted. We pray that those seeds would be watered and that they would grow into something beautiful. And God, you've called this church to invest in the next generation, to offer programs and to offer love for kids and teens and young adults in our community, but even to care about the next generation of Jesus followers. God, I know that you're even putting it on people's hearts to say yes, to go on more trips, to go to Thailand, to go to Wales, to go to the Royal Family Kids Camp, or whatever else opportunity, to be a part of Burst Thursday, to be a part of Zoom Wednesday, to be a part of Snap Mornings, whatever it is, God, I know you're placing it on people's hearts right now. God, I pray that we would care enough to do something. Help us, God, as we step out and say, I'm available. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, we've been talking about investing in the next generation, and we care that people know God, that they experience the hope that is found in Jesus. And that's why every time we get together, we help people find that hope. You see, the Bible says it's a two-part process. That first part is where we have a conversation with God that we simply call prayer, where we say yes to God. We say, God, I'm going all in. I'm making you the leader, the boss of my life. And the second part is to go public with your faith, to let other people know I've made that decision. And we just saw that evidence today with water baptism. But right now, we're focusing on that first part, that important part, that prayer, where we go all in. And I want to help you with that today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. I'm going to encourage you to pray this prayer out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, and it's with our mouth that we say it out loud, that God, you're in charge of me. You're my Lord. But don't worry, you're not praying alone, because this is a church that cares about the next generation of Jesus followers. That's why we do this, and that's why we're all going to pray this prayer together. No one prays alone here. So whether you're here in person or you're watching online, let's pray this prayer together. right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.